Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. Are you seeking the Lord on a specific issue right now? Maybe you need an answer from the Lord today. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be explaining how the Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you, and he wants to refresh you. But the Lord isn't looking for perfection. All he's looking for is availability. All he wants us to do is to seek him. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Genesis chapter 11, verse 10.
That in chapter 14, that he had 318 trained or armed servants. Let's say, adding in women and children along with those servants that he had with them, you're talking perhaps around 1,000 people or so that were journeying with Abraham and Sarah and Lot. A lot of times we think of just Abraham, Sarah, and a camel and then Lot with him. But really the case was is there was some 1,000 people plus that were going along with the ride of doing what Abraham felt led by God to do. People that were answering to Abraham. We'll see as we go forward in chapter 13 next week that Abraham was a very rich and wealthy man. Perhaps he had even other servants that he brought with him from Ur on top of this. And so that's some 999 plus people, probably daily. Remember, 600 miles approximately was no quick thing to do on foot or on camel, was it? So this was a long journey. That's probably some 999 plus people daily saying to him, "Are you sure you really heard from God? Are you sure you know where you're going?" Doesn't that happen so many times when God's leading you to do something? It's a step of faith. You can't see it. You can't reason it. You can't even explain it to people. And when you try, you get flustered. You get embarrassed. You get nervous because you don't know how to put it into words. You just know that God stirred you up. Has anyone ever had that happen to them before? Where God just speaks to your heart and his spirit bears witness with your spirit, and you know it's God, you just don't know how to vocalize it. You don't know how to explain it to the person you're trying to tell it to. Because, you know, it's hard to explain when God speaks something to you and shows you something. It's hard to relay that to other people sometimes. And even when you do, whether they mean to or not, they're very discouraging, aren't they? I mean, you'll tell God, you know, when I became pastor here, people would find out and they'd hear about it and they'd say, "Oh, you're a pastor?" And I said, "Yeah, I just became pastor." "Wow, how are you going to do that? You're young and you got a wife and you have another baby on the way. And how are you going to do that?" You know, and very discouraging. "Are you sure that this is what God wants for you right now? Maybe you should, you know, have it be more of like an elder type led church." I've had people say that to me over the last few months. And it's like, I know what God spoke to me. And certainly if God didn't speak it to me, I would never have signed up for this job. But I know that God called me to do it, so I do it. And even if somebody can't understand it, even if somebody's like confused by it and doesn't understand the explanation that you give to them, you just keep going. And you keep doing what the Lord put in front of you to do. And something that we need to understand as the church is there's no stopping. You see, it's like a locomotive train, man. You don't stop. Once you start, you keep going. And there is no end until God calls you home or specifically speaks into your life and says, "Okay, let's put an end to this and do something different." But you see, I'm under the conviction and the impression that I have of understanding the Lord that he doesn't just tell you to stop serving him, to stop going in the ministry that he's gifted you for, not for boasting rights, but for the edification of the church. You don't stop going unless he specifically puts you in another place. I don't really see anywhere in his word where the apostles, where these early saints, the saints of old in the Old Testament, where you see them just stopping, just to stop. They keep going. You keep going until the Lord brings you home. whether it be the rapture of the church or through death, or if he shows you to serve in a different area of ministry. But we are called to keep plugging along, and not to grow weary in well-doing, but to know that in due season we will reap a harvest if we faint not. Amen? And so there's this call upon us. And Abram had to deal with probably, 1,000 people plus coming to him daily. Abram, are you sure you heard from God? Where are we going? Why did we leave, man? You had all this inheritance coming your way. You had all this money. You have all this money. What are we doing, Abram? Did God really speak to you? Are you sure we're going in the right direction? I mean, I remember when we were growing up and we'd take road trips. And I mean, we drove our parents nuts, the four of us kids. Are we there yet? Are we lost? And, just the constant questions. Abram's got 1,000 kids with them. And they won't stop, probably. And it was probably making him crazy. You see, and that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to make you crazy in the efforts that you have to try to arrive to the place that God's calling you to do the task that God's put before you. He wants to try to make you so crazy that you can't even think anymore. He wants to try to make you so nuts that you finally just say, I throw my hands up in the air, forget it. I am done. This is insane. This is too hard. This is too much. The warfare is crazy. What was I thinking in the first place? Man, I'm just going to be a Sunday morning Christian. I'm going to come in. I'm going to sit, and I'm going to go before that last song's even over. I'm not getting involved anymore. I see what these people go through. I see what their families go through. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm not going to go to midweek. I'm not going to go to Monday night prayer. I'm done with all of it because this is just too much. You felt that way before, haven't you? That's why we chuckle, because it bears witness with our spirits. We all come to that place where we are just heavy laden at times. And that's what the enemy wants. He just wants to get in our minds, get in our heads, pose these little questions to us, make us doubt the call of God upon our lives, make us question the confirmations that the Lord clearly spoke to us, and he wants to hinder the work that God is doing. And he'll bring little annoyances in our lives. We're going to see it in a couple weeks in Acts when Simon comes along, man, and follows around the apostles and just drives them crazy. God, or the enemy, he wants to try to bring little annoyances and little nuisances in our lives and try to just cause hiccups along the way. And if your eyes aren't on the Lord, and if you're not faithful to keep plugging along, looking at him, not to the left, not to the right, but on the Lord, on the prize, you are going to fall down on one of those hiccups, and you're going to stay down. I can't believe, I was thinking about today, I had to run somewhere after work today, and I had some time. I was just driving along kind of like a country road, and I just started kind of just daydreaming. That was real safe. I'm daydreaming as I'm driving, looking out my window, and just driving and thinking, and the Lord just was put on my heart different people. I saw somebody that I know on the side of the road talking to somebody else, and I know that this person is backslidden, and I started to think about all the Christians that I know growing up in the church, just knowing so many people that at one time were walking with the Lord that are now not. And I began to think about all these people. They were coming into my mind, all these people that were at one time sitting in the chairs like you are tonight, listening to the Word of God. At every service that we had, zealous for the Lord, on fire for the Lord, sharing Christ with the lost, and then all of a sudden they're just gone. They're by the wayside. And I began to think about that, and that is the enemy's goal, and we have to guard our hearts with all diligence, the Scripture says. We have to gear up daily so that we can keep pressing on because the journey is long. 600 miles to walk is long. 600 miles to walk is tiring. It's inconvenient. But you see, it was necessary because he had to go where the Lord wanted him to be. And so he's doing this with these people, these souls that are now under his care. And he's trying to grind it out. He's trying to get to that place that the Lord had called him to. And so it tells us this in verse 6. Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, which is interesting. It means shoulder. We'll talk about that in a minute, but the shoulder, a strength, unto the plain of Moreh, which is the place of instructions, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And so, shoulder being the strength, this is the place that John laid his head on Jesus, isn't it? It's close to his shoulder, on his bassoon, we're told. On his chest, shoulder area, somewhere in there, John, the disciple that Jesus loved, was laying his head. This place of strength. And we see that Abram comes to this place of strength and this place of instruction. And when you come to a place where you're receiving instruction of the Lord, where you're receiving a word from the Lord, it's a place of strength, isn't it? How good it is when you hear a word in due season. When you come to church and the pastor's talking about something that bears witness in your life and it confirms something that you're going through. When you're driving in the car and you're listening to 99.7 and the pastor comes on and he speaks about something that you're dealing with. It was just last week that we were going to my sister-in-law's house and we had to stop at Wegmans on the way. And I kind of was in a grumpy mood. I'll tell you why. I hadn't eaten and I was just very hungry. And so I was a little bit ornery. And so I was a little snippety with my wife. And so she ran into Wegmans to grab something, and I'm just like, you know what, forget it. The night's ruined. I'm just going to go to my sister-in-law's and go home and go to bed. I'm not even going to talk, you know, having a pity party, just feed me kind of attitude, you know. And I'm sitting in the car, and I'm listening to Scott Galton. Turn up the volume, just because I didn't even know it was on the radio at that time, or else I wouldn't have turned it up. And it was Scott, and he's like, and if you hear these words, harden not your heart. I remember, this is Scott talking, I remember recently when the Lord ministered this verse into my life. I had just got done bickering with my wife. I was being kind of honoring, actually being more of a jerk to her than not. And I left my house and I wasn't treating her the right way. And I leave my house and the Lord speaks to me about how I'm supposed to love my wife. And the Lord speaks to him through his dad that was on the radio, about how, you know, if you did something wrong to your wife or you left the house in the wrong way, turn your car home and go back and make it right with your wife. And so Scott had to go home and obey his dad and do that with his wife. And then Shauna got in the car and I'm crying. I'm so sorry, you know, and not really crying, but I'm sorry, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, you know, and that same type of thing where the word just comes into your life and it's a place of strength, isn't it? God will speak to your life, and it's like you're leaning on his shoulder, this place of instruction, this place of receiving from him. And it was necessary because we're told at the end of verse 6 that the Canaanite people were in the land. It's important that you understand what these Canaanite people were like. They were vile. They were immortal people. They were immoral people. They were very evil, very wicked. And now he was among them. And in verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared unto Abram. And the Lord's faithful to do that, man. When you're in a place where you need to be refreshed, you need to experience his presence. When you're in a place where you need a word from him, where you need to be ministered by him, he'll send a brother, won't he? He'll send somebody that loves the Lord. He'll put something on the radio. He'll speak to you at a Bible study when you're in the depths of it all. God is so faithful when you seek his face to reveal himself to you. You will never seek God and say, I can't find him. He won't show me where he is. No, he says that those who seek me early will find me. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf if you would just seek him and make yourself available to him. Remember, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for availability. And he sends this instruction. He sends this appearance to Abram. In verse 7, as he's amongst these immortal people, as he's amongst these vile, wicked, evil people, and he says to them in verse 7, unto thy seed, Abraham doesn't even have a son yet or a daughter. And God's talking this crazy language to him. He says, unto your seed will I give this land that is occupied by these wicked, evil people. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. You see, he just did what God said was going to happen. He began to worship. He began to seek God's face as he built this altar. Somebody once said that God's promises aren't predicated upon Abraham's goodness, but upon the grace of God. You see, you consider all that's going on here. The Lord's promising these promises of blessing upon Abraham when Abraham wasn't even seeking out God. He was just this pagan dude that God came and revealed himself to. He brought him out of the land, and God's promising these blessings to him. He didn't even fully obey God at first. He went to another part of the pagan land that God never showed him to go to. And God's saying, finally you left, I'm getting you to the place where I wanted you to go, but I'm going to bless you regardless. It had nothing to do with your goodness, Abram. It had to do with my goodness and my grace. And so Abram, he builds this altar and he begins to worship God as he's in his presence. And in verse 8 it says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, which means house of God, and he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai, which means heap of ruin, on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And that's where we are in our journey, aren't we? We're in between the house of God and then this place of a heap of ruin. We're no longer in the world. We're no longer in this place of devastation that we were in when Christ found us. And we're in between that in the house of God. We're going from glory to glory. The Lord's molding us and he's shaping us. None of us can testify tonight that we're what Christ wants us to be, can we? But we're not who we used to be. We're just not yet who we're going to be. But the Lord is molding us and he's shaping us into his image. And unfortunately, many times, it's not the way that you and I want it to be done, is it? It's been said that faith isn't a mushroom that grows overnight in damp soil. It's an oak tree that grows for 1,000 years under the blast of the wind and rain. You see, and that's many times how God works, man. He brings these storms into our lives. He brings these challenges into our lives. He brings these times where we have to just trust him and cling to his every word with our dear lives and persevere. Because he's doing something greater than what we can see in us. And Abram's in between this heap of ruin and the house of God. He's on this journey. And we see that his life is marked by tents and altars. As we look at this man's life for several weeks here to come, you'll see that there's tents and altars that seem to always be involved. And they signify two things. The tent signifies his relationship to the world now. That this isn't his home. That he's just a pilgrim. As we'll see again next week in chapter 13, this guy had an abundance of cash. He had a ton of money. He could have built a mansion if he wanted to. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. He could have settled down and said, God, forget this call. But he realized that this wasn't his home. And he lived in a tent. That's the way Abraham spent most of his days, all of his days, living in a tent, showing his relationship to this world. And then we also see that through the altars that Abram was a worshiper. This was signifying his relationship to the world to come. That this was something that he would do to worship God, to spend time with God, to seek God's face, to consecrate himself to God, to commune with God, to have this relationship with the God of the universe. And one of the things that I think is kind of neat about Abram that I've been looking at as I was looking at this chapter is you never see Abram after he's done building an altar, knocking it down or covering it up so those behind him can't see it. Abram wasn't embarrassed or ashamed of leaving a mark of his place of worship. You know, many times that's what we are. We're afraid and we're ashamed that others are going to see, us in a form of worshiping God, praying to God, reading our Bibles, talking about the name of Jesus. But there was no fear for Abraham in that sense. He wasn't concerned with those finding who were coming from behind him, finding his remains of this place of worship, this altar that he would build. He was just concerned with meeting with his God. Not a perfect man. A man that messed up, a man that didn't completely listen, a man that had to go to the school of delay for a while in a parched land. A man that probably wondered, God, where are you? I thought you told me to leave. But a man that was called and a man that had the hand of God upon him. And in verse 9, we'll close for tonight's study reading. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And so next week, we'll pick up here in verse 10, and we'll see another hiccup in Abram's life, another fault and failure in his life. But there's much to glean from. And one of the interesting things to me, and you'll hear me say this as we continue to go through this man's life, is that the recording of him in the New Testament in Hebrews, What you'll see there is that God doesn't record his faults and failures. It just tells us that he was a man of faith. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10, as I close and invite the worship team to come forward, I ask that you would listen to these verses written by the Holy Spirit of what he has to say concerning the life of Abram. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. Nowhere there does the Holy Spirit tell us that first he went to Haran, that he took his dad with him, that he took Lot with him. It doesn't tell us of any of those things. It just tells him that he went, that he left by faith. He went without knowing where he was going, and when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Next week, we're going to see that Abraham gets discouraged, that he gets shaken by this famine that comes into a land, and he goes to Egypt, which represents the world. Clearly, the Lord shows us here through the author of Hebrews that he forgets about our faults and failures. That what he looks at when he sees us is these things that God calls us to do, and that his blood is sufficient to wash us and to cleanse us from the sins in our lives. That he doesn't dwell on those things that we blow, the areas that we blow it in. Because he knew it. When he called you, he knew you were a mess up. He knew you were going to blow it right before you served him at midweek study. He knew that you weren't going to be able to walk the walk that you want to walk. He knew your faults and failures. He knew that you were just dust, and he pitied you. But he called you because he loves you. And even when we're faithless, one of my favorite verses, Paul talking to Timothy, he remains faithful. So even if we blow it, even if we drop the ball, he's not surprised. He knew it would happen. And he says, I'm not looking for perfection. I'm just looking for your availability. I just want to work in you. I just want to see you get back up and keep pressing on to whatever your Canaan is in your personal life. Doing what I've called you to do, being what I've called you to be for the furtherance of my kingdom and for my glory. Everything else, I'll forget about. We'll move on. We'll get past. Though a man falls down, whether it be 7 times or 100 times, man, you get back up again and you keep going by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and the Bible says one of the most simplest verses, but one of the most powerful verses, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's get it right, hit the ground.